The Master Speaks, Chapter 3, Seeing and Hearing. He starts with a scripture. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Spiritual truth, when it is sown in the human mind, in the intellect, is not effective. A great many people with highly developed intellects, many physicists and physical scientists, believe that God is a necessary adjunct to a well-rounded life, and that the practice of religion is desirable. Few have had an actual religious experience in which they have felt the presence and power of God. Most of these intellectuals do not have the spiritual awareness which would make God a demonstrable reality. They are convinced that God is a necessity, but they are not yet convinced of God. Now you need to burn this next sentence into your consciousness. Truth received through the intellect and remaining on the level of the human mind, regardless of how logical or reasonable it may sound, is not spiritual awareness. I know this is harped on by me because I'm guilty of that. I learn a truth intellectually, and it stays there in the human mind. I may repeat it to myself in meditation or contemplation, but it is not spiritual awareness, no matter how peaceful I feel. Spiritual awareness is the actual perception of spirit, feeling it, knowing it, and it's on a whole another level than the human mind, than thinking. I can't explain it, but I know the experience. You feel it, you know it, and sometimes you are it. Consciously aware of your oneness. Even though we have ears, and we all have ears, physical ears, but do not hear spiritually. Now, how do you hear spiritually? How do you hear with your spirit? Well, you might say, as he does, you hear with your intuition. But I don't really like that. I think you hear with your receptivity, and you're receptive when you come to the throne in silence. And there you can receive the most wondrous experiences. Sometimes you can't even believe what you're aware of. One time in my meditation, I experienced myself as omnipresence. Now, you can't explain that. It's a feeling. You feel it. And so whatever it is that's doing the feeling, and I submit to you that it's your soul, feeling spirit, well, that's what meditation is all about. Meditation is about developing a state of receptivity. It's about learning how to become still, like I did on the side of the road in Dallas when my car stopped. It just stopped. I had to pull over by some orange barrels, huge 18-wheelers driving by. But because I touched the silence, on the third try, the car started right up. And I drove the rest of the way to California. And when I took it in, the fellow in the garage said, I don't know how this car is running because the brain is gone. It's fried. But I knew how it was running. And I took it to a Hyundai dealer, and I traded it in on a brand new Hyundai, and lived happily ever after. Okay. Even though we have eyes with which to read all the books of spiritual wisdom which have ever been written, if we are unable to hear or see spiritually, we are missing the mark. Now, that missing the mark is sin. We are missing the entire spiritual path. So if you are unable to hear or see spiritually, if you can only hear and see with your human mind, with your intellect, then you're missing the entire spiritual path. Truth remains a seed, that spiritual seed which is dropped on the barren soil of material consciousness or mental consciousness or intellectual consciousness, and it cannot spring forth into spiritual fruitage. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, "By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." And this you see why this teaching is an entirely different teaching from other metaphysical teachings in the world. The infinite way is not just a method of acquiring a greater knowledge of truth. It is not merely knowing some truth or more truth. This teaching does not rely on any truth that we may know intellectually. Even in our treatment or healing work, the truths that we know with the human mind or the words that we declare with our lips are not power. Until we come to see that our good thoughts are not spiritual power, we shall not see that even the world's evil thought is not power. When we are confronted with problems of our own or those of others, let us not be too quick to try to find out what is true or what is false about the problem. It does not make much difference what the truth is or what the lie is. The letter of truth will not do the work. Intellectually knowing more truth will not help. It is the spirit, the consciousness we entertain, that does the work. It is the ability, when looking at a human being, to perceive that which is not apparent to the human senses, and in that perception, see through the individual to the Christ of his being. All of our work is the development of spiritual consciousness. It is not knowing more truth. Do you catch the difference there? We go along happily. We practice meditation. We calm down, find some peace, and declare a spiritual truth. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men, all man, all manifestation unto me. And we open our eyes after we've said that a few times within, open our eyes and go about our business, and nothing changes. What's missing? The spirit, the conscious awareness of the spirit. It's your conscious awareness of the spirit, your consciousness of spirit, that is what has power. And when you touch that, well, you know it inside yourself. You know it. Ah, thank you, Father. I am. You feel it. You see it. You hear it. All with your eyes closed. Sometimes with your eyes open. And you are enveloped by spirit, but it's different. It's not just a declaring a truth. It's a conscious awareness. It's an awareness of the living spirit. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Here is the whole story of the human world. It does not want its dollars, power, or position taken away from it. The world is afraid to listen to this message for fear that it might become convinced that war is not necessary, not a necessity, or of the needlessness of panics and depressions. It turns away from any truly spiritual message for fear that it might be convinced of its truth and then would have to discard such unethical business practices as misrepresentation or unfair competition. The men and women of the world are afraid to learn about spiritual truth because they know that once they have been touched by the Spirit, never again could they do the same things in business or in their home life. Never again could they be the same to their families. Those who do turn to this path must not only receive this message through their ears and through their eyes, but they must be willing to perceive it spiritually, and then to live as so as to carry it out into actual expression. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. There are many sincere, earnest people who try hard to catch some degree of spiritual awareness, and yet are not able to respond to the spiritual impulse. Now, if you're one of these, listen, they may hear what we are saying or read what we have written, and yet the truth does not take root in their consciousness. They want to feel the quickening of the Spirit. They have a deep love for God. These are honest people. I have seen many tears shed by people who have said despairingly, I see it, I hear it, but why can I not feel it? Why can I not understand it within me? That is tragedy. That is sad. Ultimately, these people, if they can be patient and persistent in their search, if they will stay on the path, will find that their consciousness does open, and they will grasp spiritually what they now hear only with the ears and see with the eyes. There are those, however, who have caught a spiritual glimpse of I, if I be lifted up. These will find that all those who touch their lives will in a measure be lifted into that consciousness also. When we are fed entirely from within, then we can go out and feed the sheep, feed the others, feed those who are not yet ready for the experience themselves. Let us drink in the truth through the eyes and through the ears until it does open up the soul, the consciousness, the spiritual awareness, and then, after that, we shall be ready to go forward. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. There are many students who are able to understand spiritual teaching and to follow the spiritual path faithfully until a real problem touches them. And I mean real in the sense of depth. That is, a problem of health, loss, lack, or limitation, and then they fall away. That is when it becomes evident that the message has not taken deep enough root and that their consciousness has not responded to it. The spiritual sense has not unfolded sufficiently to enable the student to remain steadfast until the truth of the message is proven. So far, what we've seen here and heard here is that it's not enough to see it, to hear it, to understand it with your mind. I know we have to do some of that. That's called the letter of truth. But what do we know about the letter of truth? If you stay there in the letter of truth, it kills you. The letter of truth kills. Ah, but what about the spirit of truth? What about the conscious awareness of truth? The spirit of truth, I, if I be lifted up, well, you will know me. You will know the Father at the center of your being, the Christ. And so I, Christ, when lifted up, you draw all manifestation unto you, so that Spirit can use it for its purpose. You know there has to be a surrender here. And the surrender has to come before you can have the experience of acknowledging, feeling the Spirit. And what are you surrendering? Every desire that you have. Every desire. And then in your desirelessness, you stand still. You stand stock still. Father, reveal thyself. I am listening. And you wait. You wait. Quietly, secretly, sacredly. You feel the movement of spirit. Now it's not a thought. No, you can feel it. I feel it now. It's upon you, very subtle, very quiet, but you can feel its depth. It is infinite, and it is immortal. 10,000 years from now, the spirit will still be here. A 1,000,000 years from now, if we haven't destroyed the planet. But if necessary, there will be another planet, and the spirit will be here. And you're consciously feeling it is what makes it a reality. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This passage does not need explanation, does it? Our own fear of lack and limitation, the fear at the loss of our wealth, supply, or any form of materiality, or our fear of what might happen to our body, that it might lose its sense of well-being, suffer or die. These are the fears which would choke the spiritual impulse and destroy it. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We cannot hope to be the good ground which bringeth forth some as 100-fold, some 60, some 30, if we attempt to bring spirit into earthly matters. To sow spirit with the flesh. Isn't that what we do? Maybe unconsciously. I have a headache, so I sit down to meditate. And before I even close my eyes, I'm thinking the meditation will remove or dissolve or reveal the nothingness of this headache. So I close my eyes and I wrestle with things until I settle down and I get quiet. But all this is on the level of thinking. And I still have this headache, so I get up and I take some Tylenol or lay down for a while. And it passes. But I was unable to meet it spiritually because I had no spiritual awareness. I only had understanding with the mind. You say, don't we have to understand these principles? Yes. But then we have to go deeper than understanding. We have to have the spiritual awareness of these truths. We must be that seed that droppeth as the kernel of wheat that drops into the ground and dies before the spiritual fruitage can be brought forth. We must die daily by giving up some fear or some sense of materiality. We can rise above earthly concerns into the spirit and watch the discords and errors of human existence fall away. But to try, for instance, to use spirit for material purposes is to miss the way. We cannot and we must not use spirit to enhance our human existence. Now we come into that when we attempt to use spirit to increase our supply. That's trying to use spirit on a material life. The human sense of existence must fall into the ground and die. Our prayer should be the same prayer as that of the Master. Glorify thou me with thy glory. In other words, show forth through me and as me spiritual perfection, spiritual life, spiritual peace, spiritual harmony. You know, these aren't just pretty words. He really means this. We have to die to our human sense of life. How do we do that? It begins in meditation. It begins in your surrender of self, so that you might see. Surrender of me, so that you might hear. And one of these fine mornings or evenings or middle of the night, you feel the divine presence. You feel spirit. Ah, you say, thank you, Father. Then you begin to realize, I must die, and spirit must live. And so you begin to consciously surrender. Not my will be done, thy will be done. Not my ideas, thy idea. Not my thoughts, thy presence. Now, this becomes a state of being. This becomes a state of consciousness. This becomes a spiritual awareness. You may pause 12 or 30 times a day and say, thy will be done. I live, yet not I. Christ, you liveth my life. I, if I be lifted up, will dissolve me. Slowly, slowly, you begin to die to a material sense of self. Slowly, slowly, you become aware, consciously aware of a spirit self. and spirit begins to live where you are. This is truth. The message of the Master was never for the glorification of the earth or earthly things. To seek only to make the body healthier or the purse richer would be to glorify humanhood, making it better humanhood, healthier humanhood, greater humanhood. No man loved his people more than Jesus loved the Hebrew people of his day. No one would have done more to bring them into their freedom than he would have done, and yet he made no effort to free them from Rome or from their own materialistic church. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." His efforts were all directed toward teaching them a spiritual message, a message which they could not learn through their ears. And Jesus warned against vain repetition, hearing with our ears and speaking with our tongues. Rather, we must listen for the still, small voice and receive in the inner ear the spiritual message, the joy of the Spirit. Our object is to arrive at spiritual peace and a spiritual prosperity. So, you must ask yourself, what is the difference between being wealthy materially and spiritual prosperity? There is a difference. I'm not going to tell you what the difference is. You're going to go within and ask, what is the difference between material prosperity and spiritual prosperity? Peace achieved through treaties does not bring personal peace. The only genuine peace which will come to earth will come through those who are awake to spiritual reality or to the Spirit within, and who no longer reach out for purely material demonstration. These will then be able to see the pattern which ultimately will liberate human consciousness. We have been told that if there be but 10 righteous men in a city, then that city can be saved. Although that remains to be demonstrated, it is reasonable to believe that we, in our little groups here and there, center their attention on spiritual unfoldment and spiritual demonstration. Ultimately, the vision of my kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, will spread. If a little book like The Infinite Way can attain a worldwide circulation with no advertising whatsoever, without even book or department store sales to any extent, but all this activity, the fruit of the seed within itself, is it not just as possible that this seed of Christ, of spirituality planted in our consciousness, can and will spread all over the world if and when we go out carrying it to the world? I do not believe that any teaching of itself can do that for this world. But the Spirit alive in our consciousness can do anything and everything for the world. It is the consciousness behind the teaching which is the power. There were 16 years of healing consciousness behind the book, The Infinite Way, before it was loosed to the world. The healing consciousness in that book, regardless of the message in it, is power. But how much greater work could the Spirit of Christ itself do when it is present as a reality in our consciousness? Not another message about Christ, but Christ itself, manifest as the consciousness of the individual. Then the message would spread 1,000 times faster, 1,000,000 times faster than it has spread through the infinite way. Through the healing consciousness out of which that book was written. When Christ itself is made manifest in your individual consciousness, that Christ will spread like a flaming torch from one to the other until everyone has been touched by its light, fired with the Spirit through the study of spiritual wisdom or by contact with an illumined individual. Then, as individual consciousness ignites, the flame spreads far and wide from one to another throughout the world. You believe that? I guess it's one thing to believe. It's another to see it in practice, to see it demonstrated, not by you. You can of your own self do nothing. Nothing. No thing. But you can bear witness. You can stand a little to one side. You can invite the Spirit to flow. And then you can watch it. You can discern it as it begins to flow through you, through your consciousness. Then you have the conscious awareness of Spirit. You feel it. You see it. You hear it. The kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven. Joel says, I am one of those teachers who expects miracles in the next few years along the line of spiritual development. My first inner illumination was in 1928, and this book was in 1962. So, his first inner illumination was in 1928, and it resulted in my going into the practice of spiritual healing. But when the second experience came, there was an even greater degree of illumination. It was an inner initiation and a conscious at-one-ment with spiritual power. When that happened, the voice within revealed that there would be a work of a spiritual nature in the world, and in that work a part was to be given to me. About every 6 months since that time, there has been another illumination, an unfoldment, and each time a message has come with it, and a part to play in this work. The work that has unfolded within me has brought the realization that as the mind and consciousness of men are awakened, all worldly evil will fade into nothingness. Up to the present time, all great civilizations have reached their zenith and have then disintegrated and been destroyed. This could happen again. If it is not to happen again, however, it can only be prevented by those who receive the spiritual seed in their consciousness, permit it to develop, and then carry that seed of spirituality out into the world. There is nothing more now in the intellect or in the physicist's laboratory that will save the world. The savior of the world is the Christ, spiritual consciousness, that divine love which flows from within. You know, we start out on this path probably because we have a problem and we want it to be met. Maybe we have lack and limitation and we're hoping for an increase in supply. And that right there shows our misunderstanding, because we think that supply can come to us when supply is what flows through us. Or we come with a health problem. I have asthma and I can't breathe half the time. Oh, please give me some help. And we get some help. Someone with a spiritual awareness that knows it's omnipresent realizes that for us. And we don't know why, but we're able to put the rescue breather. What is that little thing called? The breath thing that you put your mouth on and inhale it. Maybe it's a butyrol or something else. And we're able to set it down. Walk away from it. We never need it again. Like Joel, when he went to a spiritual healer and they meditated. Afterwards, he didn't feel any different, but his gambling and smoking cigars and probably drinking to a certain extent and womanizing, if he did any of that, all of that fell away. He was new. He was different. He said he had a spiritual awakening. And the next thing he knew, he was doing healing work. He didn't yet know how he was doing it. But I suspect while he was with that spiritual teacher, that he felt the spirit. He became consciously aware of it. And somehow, from previous experience, he was able to get out of the way. And a man came up to him and said, "Joel, I don't know what your religion is, but I suspect if you pray for me, I will have a healing." And if I remember correctly, Joel got quiet. He turned within and he said, "Father, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. So if something should be said, you say it, Now, that was a surrender, wasn't it? And before he could finish it, the man tugged on his sleeve and said, "Thank you. I feel better. That headache has disappeared." So he didn't know how it was happening. He had to do some research. And he did. He delved into spiritual writings. And he came up with what he was doing. He saw that becoming quiet, becoming still, becoming receptive, he was able to hear the still small voice. Now, the first time he went into meditation, he said it took him 12 times a day for 8 months, 8 months before he felt anything. But that one time he sat down to meditate, he felt something. He felt the movement of spirit. He became consciously aware of spirit. And as he said, immediately he was doing more healing work. People always need healing. The sick we will always have with us. So there's no shortage of opportunities to become still and then consciously aware of spirit. That's the whole secret. When you are consciously aware of spirit within, Christ at the center of your being, Christ begins to teach you. Oh, it may move so that a book on the shelf at the bookstore almost jumps off the shelf and you buy it. That's an intuitive thing. You feel it. It may come from a teacher that you go to hear. I remember going to hear Joseph Murphy in the very early years. And Virginia Stevenson. We get what we need when we tune into spirit. It appears outwardly as our need fulfilled, our real need. It may not appear as $1,000, but it will appear as an understanding of the principles of supply. Have we done that yet? Maybe we need to do a series of talks on the spiritual principles of supply. I'll have to look into that. There's a book that I dearly love called Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture. And it's awesome. He must have been on fire with the Spirit when he made those talks, because it's really phenomenal. And in places, very, very deep. There's a chapter called The Secret of the Universe or something like that. And it is so deep. I love that chapter. So maybe we can do that book in conjunction with The Principles of Supply. I don't know, but we'll see. See which direction we're led. And if you would be so kind, please meditate so that the right answer comes and we can have the teaching that we need. Okay, let's be still and see if there's something else to say. Get back within yourself to the center of your being. Here, I am, Christ, the movement of God. Speak, thy servant heareth. Here we can put the human mind, the intellect, we can put it at rest. It's not needed here. Here we rely on spiritual awareness, the awareness of spirit. If you feel it, rest. Let it flow through you however it will. If you don't feel it, be still and know I am spirit within you. I am Christ. I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Glorify thyself. The Father within, this Christ Spirit, he doeth the works. And I let him. Let go. Let God. So next week we have part two of this chapter. Seeing and hearing. And then the week after, we will look at Error, Chapter 4. And we've done that chapter before, I know, because my book is all marked up. So we'll see if that talk, if we can just plug it in, or if we need to make a new talk. Thank you, everyone, for your help in bringing out this message. I couldn't do it without you, because it is your consciousness that enables my consciousness, which is the same consciousness, to speak. So I really mean it when I say thank you. God bless. Be still. Be consciously aware of spirit. And I shall be with you. Thank you.